we have just experienced what I would call deep invocation, or the invocatory methodology to which we belong. And it has been lacking. If you go to church, you have, you know, you have something different. It's not exactly this. And we're in a state of recovery. So if you think about the Psalms, the way they express the language of prayer, sometimes the Psalms say a loud voice, with drums, with trumpets, with this, with that, and you think, I don't know what that is. But we experienced it this morning. So what you could say is that Islam, Sufism, is held in trust a form of worship, a form of prayer, an invocation. In this Arabic, a prolah or zikr, it is a form of entering the divine presence. But you have to taste it. You can't describe it. You have to experience it. And it is what belongs to us. We've clattered over with bulletins and, you know, this and that. But this is, I would say, at the root. It doesn't mean that we can't do other things. But this is at the root of our world. And what is so delicious about it is that as that tradition went east, it's been held for us and now given back. So thank you. And this is a time back to Amir for question and answer and however he wishes. So we'll proceed to about 10, something like that, and then we'll take another break and get ready for the rest of the morning. You have.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we open it up to questions and answers, there was two points I'd like to go over. One is a question that was asked yesterday or last night. I might have not fully answered it. I think it was about the maybe organized religion and going to services in mosques, churches, synagogues, etc., or even organized, you know, so-called Sufi, we call them tekia, Sufi temples, if you will. So, the answer to that question is, I think there was a gentleman here who might have okay, so yes, still two people have. As you all know, it's been decades that people of all different faiths, little by little, slowly but surely, are shying away from organized religion. I can speak for New York, where I live for the past 40 years almost, is the churches are empty. You go there on Sunday, you have two people in one, five in another, six in the other. Basically, people go once a week to dust the place. They're not they're not well attended. They don't offer what people need. Same thing with mosques. It's not well attended, and it's only just a handful of people going to these mosques. So this is my take on it. People of our time, in general, we are more intelligent, we are smarter, we are better educated, even at the worldly level. So we do not accept a lot of the things they say. Unfortunately, I find most of them, all of the organized, whether it's a Christian church or a synagogue or a mosque, they're lost a lot of things. Not only the type of music or worship, but they became one-dimensional. They are close-minded. They have a tunnel vision. They're fanatic. They became political. Their very higher-ups are dictated by the government and corporates. So even lower downs, in order to keep their jobs, they have to stay within certain codes. So make a long story short without getting too much political, none of these organized religions and institutions, in my humble opinion, carrying the pure truth anymore. It's a little bit of a truth mixed with so much of not truth. So it's like a perfume, you know, you have, imagine a perfume, something that smells so nice and then also mixed with something terrible. So it's so confusing. You say, oh my God, it smells, I thought it was nice. So we feel it. We have five senses, some of us we have even more. Rumi says we have 10 senses. First five is from copper, the next five are from pure gold. We have discovered only one of them, one of the next set of five. We call it the sixth sense. But there's a seven, there's an eight, there's a nine, there's a ten. You see, we only see with the eyes of the body. We also have the spiritual eye. You touch with your body, but if your soul is evolved enough, you can touch anything and everything and any distance. People like Jesus. Of course, he was made that way to begin with, but some of them, they worked hard to get to that point. He was made perfect. All this limitation, physical, bodily limitations we have is no longer a limitation for them. They can be here, and if they wish, they can see exactly what happens on the other side of the planet. They can also travel there within a split second. It's amazing power the soul has. Soul is extremely powerful. That's why mystics say we are imprisoned in this cage of the body. We really are so limited. Our visions, our five senses are so dull in here, in this body. When we work, that should not be incidentally our goal. That happens automatically. Surrender to the will of God. We shouldn't say, okay, I'm going to work fast, and then I'm going to wake up every morning and pray and do this set of things so that my five senses are open. The good God we have takes care of everything. You don't have to worry. If it's good for you, whenever you deserve it, whenever the time comes, it will get open, all those extra sensories. We should just be a good servant. Go with the real pace. Don't rush. Just be good. Treat the others in a good way. Eat well, but make sure you're feeding the others. Dress well. Make sure you help the others dress if you have. We should live like a person, a dignified person in our time, our society, and where we live. The rest, we shouldn't. If you go to a place and see people are, I'm going to say something that may be a little bit controversial, but you see sometimes you go to these places and people are dressed like 2,000, 5,000, 3,000 years ago. Long beard up to here, long hair up to there, and you know, one unusual gown, and they sit in a funny way and they hold their hands in a if Jesus had that look, that was the look of that time. Everybody had that look. That is why the Romans couldn't find him. They went there and he was sitting amongst so many others. And he says, "Who's Jesus?" Everybody says, "I am," and they couldn't tell. They all look the same. If Moses had this long gown and also long hair and long beard up to here, so that was the look. But in 21st century, you go and you see somebody has this like a throne and sits in a funny way and the hands are curled and he's head to toe white and has, I don't know. Why? If it's not a show, if it's not a theater, why do you have to dress differently and act differently and unnaturally? Like everybody else. Jesus sat, and those who speak very complicated and sophisticated, for only a small group of academically, you know, with PhDs, was Jesus that way? He was sitting with prostitutes, the fishermen, the farmers, down to earth, sitting down and spoke their language. He didn't use a fancy language. He could. He was a rabbi. He could. But he didn't. Why? It's not about impressing people. It's not about using a sophisticated language. Try to impress people with your dress, your walk, with your comportment, with your behavior. No. The truth is simple, but it's difficult to do. It's very simple, but very difficult to do. That's why when we want to do the real thing and we see it's so difficult, then we back off and we say, "Oh, where can I get one of those Sufi hats?" You get the Sufi, is there a Sufi vest? Yeah, and then, you know, where can I learn to whirl and, you know, because these are easy and fun. And so, and then you change your name also to Halima, if you're a woman, and to Hafizullah, if you're a guy. And then you say, "Well, I'm done. The work is done. Look, I spent a few dollars here, downtown village, bought the vest. I'm a Sufi. My name is Halima. I have the hat, I have the gown, and I can whirl and curl and do the somersaults." So the work is done. Well, of course, it's easy. It's fun also. But did the substance of your soul, your being, changed enough to be worthy to be one with God? That's the goal. When the time comes, you still have that anger. We have that anger. We have that jealousy. Her Sufi hat is nicer than mine. I'm going to get to Turkey this time and get a bigger one. Or all these human weaknesses we all have. The work is simple to understand. We have all these. So my answer to you is no, I am not interested in any kind of organized religion, nor am I interested in organized so-called Sufi places, because guess what? The same people, I was just talking to Julie about that. You heard, you know, the same wolf wearing a mask of a lamb, right, to look like a lamb. The same people who were abusing us, misusing us, controlling us in organized religions, of course, when I say that, by the way, before I go to further, that doesn't mean there is not a single person in a church or a mosque or a synagogue. It's very rare, and God bless them if they, you know, they exist. I'm so proud of them that despite the problem, they're still there. And we need, if there is one or two, you know, that's good. And I pray that God gives them strength to do their job the way that really Jesus wants. They are not accountable. That's the problem. They are not accountable to Jesus and their conscience and God. They work for their higher-ups who pays their salaries and their bills, and most of them they get a, you know, an accommodation, free accommodation, etc., etc., etc. So now the same group of people see the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, the Buddhist temples are increasingly becoming less and less popular. Say, well, looks like it's not a good business anymore. And people seem to be more interested in spirituality. And Sufism or other things. So, you know, so they keep opening this Sufi temple, Sufi. I've been teaching, Lynn knows, for 31 years at New York University as a contractor, you know, lecturer on the subject of Sufism. So I always told my students, you know, don't be surprised if McDonald's come with Sufi burger. Or the downtown, you know, store says now like we have shoes with Sufi heels, you know, and people immediately buy. Because I've been there myself. A friend of mine who is the owner of World Music Institute in New York, for the past 35 years, he was calling, you know, Sufi music, Sufi this, Sufi that. And I said, Robert, I am from the region. This is Sufi, but that one is not Sufi. He says, Amir, I know, you're so living. It helps me sell the tickets. People like it. So now every decade is getting worse. Sufi movement, Sufi this, Sufi gazing. Honestly, go to look online and see what you find under Sufi gazing, Sufi meetings, Sufi movements, Sufi music, Sufi drumming. So I warned my students, I said, soon there's going to be Sufi hills, Sufi burgers, etc. And well, and then they come to me and they ask me, oh, I'm Sufi, are you Sufi? I say, I am sushi. How can I tell them? I'm saying, if this is what Sufism is, I certainly am not one of them, so I have to find a name for myself. So I said, I'm sushi, and all I can say is I like the real Sufis. I just like them. If you can ever find one, you know. So the bad news is the same people who got into this organized religion have started getting into spiritual realm, so-called, you know, these practices, and increasingly you see. So when people say, Amir, I'm so touched by Sufism, where shall I go? And you go on internet, for every true place, if there is, and there are, I am not exaggerating. For every true place, you have 19 phony. So how are you expected to find a real place? It's so difficult. You and the other 19 usually spend so much more spend more to have it flashy, bigger signs with light going on and so big and so colorful. And then you may find one little thing down there, you know, that is maybe some truth. So it's very difficult time. God bless us and help us all. You know, that's why I keep saying intention, intention, intention. Sincerity, honesty. If we are sincere with God, God promised us, and He takes upon Himself to guide us to the right path. In Islam, we say, "Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim." Is in every prayer, five times a day, we say that in every verse, and I think we say that 2 times in the morning, 4 times in the noon, that's 8, 4 times in the afternoon, that's 12, 3 times in the evening, that's 17, and then 4 times at night. So 21 times we say, God, lead us to the straight path. Why straight path? This is a question for you. Why straight path? What's wrong with bumpy or curly or curvy or...
You get there faster.
Exactly. In geometry, we learn the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. We want to get to our beloved as fast as possible. We don't want to wander around, something that goes around, take us, you know, we say, you're taking us for a ride. So seeing all this, the more you get away, there is more chance of getting lost. Straight path, directly, we need to focus on the straight path. Ihdinas sirata mustaqim. Guide us, lead us to the straight path. So, does that answer your question from last night?
Yes, thank you.
And the other thing was the, as I briefly touched upon it, and of course that's barely, you know, that was just the head of the iceberg. You know, when we said we are different. You see, people had visions. Spirituals and saints in the past had visions, and they saw their eyes, one of their 5 senses opened just for a limited time while they were praying. A lot of the things we do actually is sometimes in the past someone got inspired. So the curtain went away from their vision and they saw the angels above praying. This is why the Sufis sit around in a circle. Does anyone know why sitting in a circle? I noticed you guys sit in a circle. Well, why you guys are sitting in a circle? I can tell you why the Sufis are sitting in a circle.
We do it because you do it.
That's lovely. That's a good reason. Of course, if you knew even at a physical level, it would be even better. But that's a good indication.
We're equal in that sense, where we all come as bringing the same spirit, so we're in a common circle and we can have eye contact with everybody else.
Right. I certainly like the first answer, and this is the second time I'm impressed with people here. Last time I asked somebody, answered immediately, and you're right on the, as we say in New York, we're more business-sided, so right on the money. yes.
As you were speaking about the music last night, it intensifies the energy.
Yes, that too. I need people to help me with the memory, because this subject really, I get love drunk when I talk about it. This is my most loved subject, and I get carried on, and then I forget what I was going to say. It's hard to stay focused in one thing, because there's so much to say, and so much to share, and so much to talk about. This person who had the vision saw the angels in a circle above the place, men and women with voices, female and male voices, in 2 voices was heard, playing instruments, singing and playing instrument and dancing. He actually even shared one of their dances. I'm not allowed to share that dance with you. Not at this meeting, maybe next meeting. So you'll talk to him to invite us again. But they were dancing, and they were singing, and they were playing instruments, many of them. And they were singing in different octave. Now, yes, the answer is, a lot of, it's a sad thing to say, but a lot of our societies in the world, today, yesterday, and forever, has been class conscious. They look at your dress, how you dressed, you know, oh, you have a Gucci shoes, it's marked, so, and so-and-so wearing a Cartier watch, and so-and-so wear, you know, a Piaget pendant. So people were dressed, some people were not dressed so nice because they did not have money. Someone was the mayor, so it was very important. Someone was just a plumber and was in the society not so important. So what we had in the past, and I'm taking you back to our grandfather's time, Abraham's time, you know, they would give you the best seat if you were more dignitary, you know, like the mayor would sit there, you plumber would be all the way back there, you know, you're a plumber, you could just sit anywhere. Sufis, they all wore a very plain, simple, long white gown on top of whatever you were wearing. So whether you were a king, your very expensive clothing with all the jewels that was sewn to your dress would not show. That was discouraging for those who like to show off. Look, I just bought this Vacheron Constantin watch for... Do you know there was a Vacheron Constantin watch sold in Hilton Hotel in New York for $6.5 million? I kid you not. $6.5 million for one lady's watch called the Vacheron and Constantin. And these very, very expensive watches, average people don't even know the name. People say maybe Rolex. They think Rolex is the top of the line. Rolex is nothing. The most expensive Rolex is like $300,000. $6.5 million. And this is something to talk about during dinner. Like, oh, do you know I have Charles, I just bought this for my wife, you know.
You
do
that
well. Their lives, I feel sorry for them. Their lives are so empty that they have to fill it up with this. First of all, where they get the money, I don't know. I'm not accusing. Maybe they had a rich father. Well, the father got it. It's not our business. But how many people can you feed? How many hospitals can you make? How many hungry stomachs? How many people can you educate? How many, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know better than me. So, and it's just you know, a piece of, you know, we say, okay, that diamond has value. Who says diamond has value? You know, maybe just a beautiful stone out there you can find, it could be even prettier. I like turquoise, and well, according to my colleagues, you know, that's semi-precious, but I love turquoise and agate. None of them are very considered precious stone, but those are the two I like. They say Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, wore one turquoise and one agate, and they indeed do have some properties, spiritual value. But I want to insist once again, I would never myself impose or say the way to pray or worship or chant or meditate is such and such. Because as I said, we are made, look around you, certain things are made from wood. Some of them are from ceramics, some of them are from metal, some of them are from plastic, etc. We are like that. God has made us from different parts of the mine of creation. He took us from different, we are all mud like earth, but we are taken, the very substance of our being is different. You are different than her. You share, of course, but the very substance is different. I am a little bit different. We don't have to act to be like each other. Be yourselves. Celebrate and be happy and satisfied with what God gave us. And celebrate us. So I don't want to impose to say, you know, oh yes, you should be all doing this or you should not be doing certain things. Rumi, he was 86 years old and he was dancing and everybody was saying, how can you dance at 86 like this? He says, how can you sit still when we're praying? I cannot understand, how could you sit still? Every atom of my body wants to circulate, like, you know, because as you know, the neutrons, protons and electrons, everything is rotating. Rumi says, and this is the original language, he says, کمتر از ذره نی پست مشو مه ببرس تا به گردونه خورشید رسی چرخ زنان. You are not less than a speck of dust. Don't be so low. Love and cultivate love in you so that through rotation you will go back to the sun. Now the sun, of course, and the story of Big Bang that pushed everything out. Now the gravity of sun is so strong that pulling everything back towards sun. This is what the scientists say. Well, guess what? God is the same way. God pushed us in order for us to learn all the way down to below the mineral. Remember I mentioned the word infra-atom. And then we started coming back. His magnetism is so strong that pulls us all. Doesn't matter what is your nature, eventually he pulls everything towards himself. We're going through those layers, just like I said about the filtered water. There are so many layers above us. We are pulled up and we have to go through the layer of charcoal, chalk, stones, rolling stone, rough-edged stone, rain, water, you name it, salt, pepper. We're going to taste it. Oh, that tasted yucky. This was sweet. This was honey. This was. We're pulled. It takes thousands of years. Rumi says, باز آمدم از پیش آن ناز آمدم چندین هزاران سال شد تا من به گفتار آمدم. He says, I came back, I am returning. It took several thousand years for me to start talking. What do you think he means, several thousand years? Usually we start talking by at the age of 9 months, 10 months, if you're a little bit slow, maybe by a year to 14 months, 15 months. Why does he say it took several thousand years for me to talk? First of all, what kind of talking is he talking about? And second of all, why thousands of years? Because he starts from below the mineral, then vegetal, then animal, and then human. He's talking about that part. That's what I mean when I say we should love music, you see? it's very interesting. So, but, again, like I say, elsewhere, we hear that says, canaries pray, they have their way of praying, God gave them, just like the story of Moses. Nightingales have their way of praying. So, if your nature tells you to get up and dance, like Rumi's was, handle it like that, then you do what your nature does. If your nature dictates that you just sit politely and just sing, that's also perfectly fine. Your nature requires that you remain silent, that's also fine. We have to have acceptance of people around us, however their sweetheart desires to worship. What I am against is techniques. Someone coming and saying, no, one must be, you don't understand, you have to be quiet, or you have to be silent, or you have to force yourself to sing, or you have to force yourself to drum. I want to be silent. You know, maybe I don't want to drum, maybe I don't want to dance. Wherever you are, nobody ever forced anyone to do anything. The real thing. Can you imagine Jesus says, no, that's not the way to pray, you have intention. Yes, they correct our intention. We have to have, as long as you have one intention, you worship your Creator. How is nobody's business. So, total freedom. But, like I said, you should be exposed to different things. It's what I think Lynn is doing, you know, exposing you to different things, and you see what works best for you. Different people. Julie was telling me, oh my God, I can imagine that the real churches have lively music, and it's so hard for me to find. You know, some people are like that. I said, well, I'm like you, but that doesn't mean everyone should be like that. Okay, these are the two things that I wanted to talk about. So now it's all, the floor is all yours. So if there are anything that you'd like to.
In chapel, you mentioned 6 advanced beings,
right.
5 in addition to Jesus. Who were some of the others?
Must you know?
Then you should have said one.
I usually do that. I talk about, I open a little can of worms and then. Yes, I am happy to share this with your community. As I said, the first night, I definitely feel at home with you. I may not share this with even average regular Muslims at that level one, you know, the exoterism. They may say, what are you talking about? You know, you're crazy. When we say angels, there are different kind of angels. About the prayers and chanting and meditation, there are millions and millions of different kind of angels. But there is a different kind of being. We happen to call them angels. There is only 7 of them. Who can tell me who they are?
The archangels?
Exactly. Who was that?
Gabriel.
Yes. The 7 archangels. Our belief is after. Those angels are not to be confused or mixed up with the regular angels, that there are millions of them, and they all have their function. But these 7 archangels, after God, if God created them, they're creation. They are not the creator. They're not God. God created them for a very specific reason, and they're the most powerful. They get their power, like I said, from the central bank. They're connected with a very big, thick wire to God. And they are created perfect. They cannot make mistakes. And Jesus is one of them. And guess who? Gabriel. And Gabriel happened to be the head of those 7 archangels. Now, to say Gabriel is Jesus is a total mistake. For those of you who are writing, write this down. Because Jesus was one of the shirts that Gabriel wore. To limit me to say, Amir is that white shirt. So then how about yesterday? I was wearing a striped shirt. Was that me or was someone else? So Gabriel is not Jesus, but the essence in the body of Jesus was Gabriel. Literally after God, the most powerful creation, who was not human, who was by far superior to anything else we can imagine. This is our belief. I have no insisting anyone to disbelieve it or believe it or agree or not agree. I am invited here to share our view, so we share our view. He could have, with his small toe, he could have turned all the entire Roman Empire to stone or dust. But he didn't. You and I, we would have. And it's okay because we are human. We would protect ourselves. We would defend ourselves. Remember when he was walking towards the Romans and one of his disciples said, Jesus, Jesus, go that way. They're coming this way. He smiled and says, I know, but I'm still going there. When they tried to bribe him, he started talking all those things about that the real God. First they tried to scare him, didn't work. They talked to him, it didn't work. So those people, which they thought the most important thing is money, said, okay, well, whatever, let's give him money. We were hoping to solve the problem without the money. So they went to him with these small bags of gold coins and silver coins and says, Jesus, stop. Here, take the money, just please. Do us a favor, do yourself a favor. Again, he smiled. He says, what is this? If you put the moon in one hand and the sun in my other hand, you cannot buy me. I would not turn away from the truth. You couldn't buy him. You couldn't threaten him. Some people think he was like a little weak person. When he wanted to, he was like a hungry lion. No one could stop him. When he attacked the tax collectors, broke their tables and everything, no one could stand in front of him. Again, because their power comes from God. He would look at you in the eyes, you would be melting. People would feel that. And incidentally, he really had that crown, but we are blind until our senses are awakened. We cannot see his crown. He really did have that crown. But he lived amongst the blind. So, no one can describe Jesus the way he was because he's beyond our senses. It's enough to know that he was one of the manifestation of Gabriel, and there is nothing about Gabriel after God. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. It does, thank you.
Sure.